Hey, welcome to the B-Side. My name's Adam.
And I'm Steve.
The B-Side is all about a weekly podcast answering some questions that you may have as a listener about theology, the Bible, Christianity and culture, even some questions that may have not been addressed in a sermon as we walked through it as a church.
So we're going to answer your questions. So this is heavily listener-oriented. You got to send in your content to bside at thchurch.ca, just B-S-I-D-E at thchurch.ca. We will be answering your questions. A weekly podcast, extra content that you don't get on Sunday morning. And we're going to keep doing this as long as you listen and send questions in.
The first question I think that everyone's had discussing this podcast, discussing the B-side, has been, why is it called the B-side and not something else?
Partly because we made a podcast called the B-side like a couple years ago. I started with Rhoda and we couldn't come up with a better name. So that's part of it. But the whole point of the B-side is like back in the day, listening to vinyl records, and people know I like vinyl records, is you release a new single as a band, you got the new album or the new single coming out, and that's on the A side, and you send it out to the radio station to play your new song. But then you got to have something on the other side of the record, and the B side is where you put like, so they would put like an extra song, maybe not their best song, but the A side is the money track, right? It's the new hit song. And the B-side is sort of the song that goes on the other side. There's a little bit extra content there on the other side. So I guess it's a metaphor, right? The A-side is like Sunday morning. We come and we preach. We open God's Word. And the B-side is this podcast where we put out a little bit of extra stuff, like just extra questions or thoughts, the stuff that got hacked out of the sermon that wasn't good enough for Sunday morning. So it's sort of your extra TAC Bible content. So yeah, we're looking for, you know, maybe it's stuff that we didn't get to on a Sunday morning because we only have so much time in the text and it's got some puzzling stuff in it, or maybe it's just theology questions or things that have come up or questions that people send in. So this is our opportunity to jump into those stuff and hit it up on the B side.
So while we're on the B side, let's discuss the A side itself. Let's discuss church. With so much media content, worship music, sermons on demand, podcasts like this, why is it important that I actually get out of bed and go to a church? Why can't I just, you know, stream some Spotify and go on a walk and call that good enough and learn from a good preacher?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the mistake we make when we think that way, like, is that church is really about what I get out of it. Like, if church was all about personal growth, like if that's what it was primarily about, personal growth, then you could say, well, hey, rather than going to gather as God's people in a building with people, I could just listen to better teaching. Like, and I listen to teachers online. I listen to worship music. I sing along while I'm doing the dishes or whatever. So I think that stuff's great. But if church was primarily about personal growth through music and through listening to teaching, learning, then yeah, there's other ways to do that are better. I am not the best Bible teacher by far, long shot. So, you know, there's other things, other ways to get that. But it comes from a misunderstanding even about what church is for. I would argue it's not for personal growth. Instead, I look at all the analogies, images, teaching in the New Testament about what church is, and you get all these corporate images. The church is a body with many body parts. You know, everyone is part of this body contributing something. The church is a temple or a building, and you are all bricks in that temple in Ephesians chapter 3. And you get all these images that are corporate pictures that we are together something. And so the church is really about it's more about being something than it is about getting something, right? We look at it from a consumer perspective. Where do I get the best teaching? Where do I get the best music? Who puts on the best production? But it's all backwards. A church is a gathering. It's about being something together. And so I would argue that primarily, though there's personal growth involved, absolutely, primarily we are called to be something, to be the people of God in a community, to, as we love one another, serve one another, grow together, pray for each other, as we open the word together, as we sing God's praises together, as we practice baptism and the Lord's Supper together, we are something. We are God's people, God's embassy. We are this body, this temple, this dwelling place of the Holy Spirit in this community. And we're sort of this countercultural community within a community. And so more important than what do I get is how can I be part of this? And together we're something that on our own we never could be. And so that is why, you know, going for a walk in the woods or listening to, you know, like a John Piper sermon or singing your heart out to a worship album, that's good stuff. Like that's personal spiritual growth, but that's not what church is about. Church is corporate. It's about being something together, being the people of God. And in being the people of God, we put on display God's glory in a way that we can never could. I think of 1 Timothy, you know, we did that 1 Timothy series, and the key heart verse of 1 Timothy is chapter 3. I guess it was like a year ago we did that series. 1 Timothy 3 says, purpose statement for the whole book, I hope to come to you soon, this is verse 14, but I am writing these things to you so that, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. And the point is that the behavior of this church in Ephesus really, really matters because they are the household of God. It's the house where God lives, and the church of the living God. And they're, as they behave the way God wants them to behave, they're like a pillar and buttress holding up the truth. And you know, we talked in our series, and it's probably a reference to the big temple of Artemis in Ephesus with these huge pillars and buttresses. And it's like how the pillars and buttresses hold up the roof of the temple. The church is like pillars and buttresses upholding the truth of the gospel. And so the church behaving properly, living together, loving each other, submitting to one another, praying for one another, being the people that God's called them to be, is how they hold up the truth for the watching world to see. So how we behave together really, really matters. And it's more important than anything else. So
it's setting our own culture, withholding, being actual brick and mortar, more than a spiritual discipline is what you're saying.
You know, I think the spiritual disciplines, you know, your personal growth, that's good too. That's good. That matters. But that's not what the church does not exist to teach you and give you opportunity to grow personally, spiritually. Mm-hmm. That should happen as well, but that's secondary to the church exists to be a witness together to the gospel through word and deed.
Yeah.
And so it's about what we are rather than what we get. And so we're looking at it all wrong. You may feel like you don't get something out of church. There's something more important, though. It's about how can you be something as part of a church? How can you be part of that body? How can you put the grace of the gospel on display through serving, loving, working together? And so, you know, that's the most important thing. Why do we gather? We gather to be something more than just to get something. I hope you get good teaching at your church. I hope you worship and sing your heart out and there's good music. I hope, you know, but there's far more than that, and including practicing the Lord's sacraments together through baptism and Lord's Supper together, in putting on the gospel in a way that you never can as an individual. You just can't. You can't be a church as an individual.
We had a discussion several weeks ago about Christianity and culture, and talking about how Christianity is always trying to fit in or form culture. You were reading somebody far smarter than myself, and they talked about Christianity being its own culture and the growth of that culture impacting. Do you remember who that was? And can you shed a little?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, I think it was... Okay, we were talking...
I don't even remember.
We were talking about Christianity being its own culture and unique to culture, not being part of culture. And in that sense, because of the way we act and respond together corporately, we are an example to culture. We are our own community, and we are separate, together and coexisting.
Well, I think the beauty of Christianity is that it's not tied to a specific culture. Like, it's not, there's no holy city, there's no holy language, there's no holy dress code, food. Like, a lot, every religion of the world is tied to the birthplace of it. But Christianity is beautifully cross-cultural, global, and yet it is its own culture that stands against culture. So by that I mean a church should be a robust counterculture. There'll be places it fits in well with its culture. There'll be places where it even mimics culture or shares culture, language, you know, literature, learning. But there's places where it will stand strongly against culture. And the interesting thing about Christianity is where it stands against culture in Canada may be very, very different than where it stands against culture in Iraq, where it stands against culture in China, where it stands against culture in West Africa, based on the sins and errors of the particular nation. So Christianity is a culture
of itself
that transcends cultures. Yeah. Based on the ethics of Jesus.
Okay, and we go to church because we are part of the body belonging together to glorify God. It's not a personal growth. We are an example to others. And this is why a good church mission statement and proclamation can be so important to actually shed light on why we do what we do. And so I appreciate that leadership on that side and why you've sort of pointed us in that direction and now help shed light of when you come on Sunday mornings, though we expect some personal growth out of the teaching and we expect a time with God, that we are there corporately to engage those around us to build up the body of Christ and also ultimately just glorify God.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I think there's something pretty profound, I think, about the fact of, you know, in our case, a couple hundred people on Sunday morning gather together to open the word and say, this guides us, and to sing the praises of God. And that's a profound, quiet, revolutionary act of saying, this guides us, and God, you are more worthy than anything else. I mean, we're doing something together that an individual can't do, and we're doing something together that makes a profound statement of loyalty and worship and honor, and I think that's deeply significant. And the fact that happens in every country of the world, it's really significant.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
I like it. Next week we're going to be talking about what makes a church a church. Are there things that actually qualify a group of people to be called a church? Stay tuned for that. You can hit subscribe. We also appreciate if you want to email in any questions, comments, or thoughts to bside@tachurch.ca. We will be chatting soon. Thanks, Steve.